And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, welcome to Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, IA, from the BEA UT Full Studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com, here at the farm. Now, let me tell you what we're going to do today in the week up with is what we got. We have first hour on the line, we got Kevin Kelly. Now, he's youth for Ron Paul and Westchester University in Pennsylvania, and go to the page, facebook.com/groups/WCU Youth4Paul. Now, there is a petition there, an effort to try and make sure that Dr. Paul stops by. I mean, they never commit to nothing. They got an advanced team out there. They say, yeah, is there a crowd here? They be a crowd. Well, guess what? Dr. Paul's going to show up, and he always draws a crowd. So let's go ahead and, you know, we'll help them out a little bit here. We'll talk to Kevin in just a second. Morpheus is going to be in the studio. Now, what he's doing is he's decided that he's taken to the streets. Not enough street action for him. I mean, you know, so what he goes, where can we really have an impact? You always got a crowd. You know, it's national. It's international. They take information, they seed the planet, Las Vegas. So he's on the streets in Las Vegas, peddling constitutions, handing out stuff, Ron Paul doing, saying, yo, what's up? And it's, because that's just the way he is, he tried it a couple of times, and he goes, wow, man, this is working good, getting some good video, getting some good contact, penetrating the matrix, and, you know, he's having some fun with it. So he's going to tell us about his experiences, and he wants to make a bigger deal out of it, and it's a going concern. So if we're going to be spreading the message on college campuses and amongst the youth and the excited young people, where do you do that for adults? On the streets of Las Vegas, I guess. Okay, so we're going to talk about that. And then one of my favorite guests, you know, since I've been doing radio, since early 03, okay, Declan McCullough. Let me tell you about Declan real quick. Declan was one of the early Uber geeks, okay? Let me put it this way. In the 90s, when people were buying up domains, he still has news.com. Oh, you put that in your piggy bank, don't you? Well, he started Polytech, and it's a politics and technology. He started as a young man following how politics affected technology. Well, he could see it coming. I mean, you know, a lot of us like, yep, you're not allowed to be free. So what happened was he would write a newsletter or his blog that he had at the time, and it eventually got bought up by CNET. Well, CNET then got bought up by CBS. So Declan's been with him all this time. So now, in opposition to the man, heck, he's become the man, you know. So during this process, we've talked, and he's given us an insight on the future of, and it's not just the politics around the technology. It's the technology that's creating the attention to the politics. And I'm telling you, in just the last 7, 8, 9 years that we've known each other, there has been an amazing display of the power of what each individual can do. Example, you know, Facebook, you know, Google Plus, all these other social media, you know, websites like, Freedom's Phoenix. So this is, I'm interested in what the big bad guys are doing now. You know, what's the capacity of these drones flying over, Wi-Fi tapping, doing, getting, they already know everything anyway. And then there's people promising, the reason I wanted to talk to them, was internet security and privacy, because there's an offer. He did an article on this guy saying, look, we don't even have the capacity to snoop on you, to archive information, to tap into your encrypted communication of the little ones and zeros and telephone, internet, anything, and nobody knows, and the FBI comes, and we don't have nothing to give them because we don't have it, didn't keep it at your property, and have a nice day. Now what? Oh, can't allow that. No, hell no. So what we're going to do is we got a full day today, but let's go ahead and get to Kevin Kelly. Oh, push the button. Kevin, I got you there.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me on.
Oh, no, my pleasure. Now, you know, Kevin, let's go ahead and let's just skip. I got a zillion questions for you, but what I want to do right off the bat is I want to give you an opportunity to make your spiel for what you want people to do and how you're going to try and get Ron to come visit with y'all.
Oh, well, thank you very much for that opportunity, Ernest. Well, what we would like people to do is first, if you're interested in us, go to our Facebook page, and you can easily do that by searching WCU Youth for Paul. And when you get to our Facebook page, there's a tab on there, labeled Docs. And under Docs, you click that tab, and you sign the petition. And if you sign that petition, we have the potential to get Congressman Ron Paul, the man himself, to speak at Westchester University either on the 23rd or the 24th. So those are the 2 days that we're looking at right now. And what I cannot emphasize enough is that we need people from the area of Pennsylvania. So if you reside in the state of Pennsylvania and you want to see Ron Paul come to a college campus and get thousands of people out to hear this message of liberty and attract attention, a little bit more attention the media has already given them, and I would just say go to our Facebook page, click the tab labeled Docs, and check it out, and sign the petition yourself, and help us get Dr. Paul either to Westchester U, either on the 23rd or the 24th. But this is for only people, I cannot emphasize enough, who reside in the state of Pennsylvania.
Okay, now what Donna has done, and she's put all this information, all of the contacts. You go to today's show, and it'll say Kevin Kelly, Morpheus, Declan McCullough on 420. Oh, yeah. Today's 420. I forgot. So, only some people that's of any significance. Well, what we're going to do is you go up to Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. You see today's show, and all of these links are in there. You just click on it. Boom. Go in there. Boom, shakalaka. Here comes Ron Paul. Now, tell us where you're actually at. Okay, WCU is near what city? I mean, give us some help here. We're in Pennsylvania.
Well, Westchester University, it's right outside Philadelphia. Westchester itself is it's right outside the city of Philadelphia. So we're literally about, if you're coming from Philly, for example, we're literally about, let's say, I would say about 45 minutes away. So it's not that far a drive if you live in the state of Pennsylvania. And we encourage, if this does go through, if we do get official word from the campaign, we encourage everybody to come out just to hear Dr. Paul, to see Dr. Paul, to hear this great message that he has. So,
well, go ahead and tell me, he's going to Pennsylvania Sunday. There's going to be, part of Fed stock and at the Independence Lawn there and everything. I mean, it's going to be a big shindig. So he's going to be in Pennsylvania Sunday, which is what? 22nd. And you're looking for him to stay a day or two to come by and visit with y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. And what we're doing is,
heck, you can't get him to stay 5 minutes after he speaks, man. What are you talking about? So, now the primary, there's some voting or something going on Tuesday, right? So I imagine he's going to be spending some time in Pennsylvania.
Right. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. So you're at WCU, you got, enough people to compete with, whatever 15 gazillion other universities are begging to have them?
Oh, I think we definitely do. I think that there will be dozens and dozens of young people who will probably turn out from all over the place to hear Ron Paul speak, no matter where he is.
You are probably right. More with Kevin Kelly, Youth for Ron Paul. Go on Facebook. Victory. Youth for Ron Paul, WCU. I bet you it blows up all over the place. We'll be right back.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
No roads. No roads. You know where we're going, there aren't any roads. I'm so sick of hearing it. You know, this is what happens. Hey, yeah, well, you libertarian. What about the roads? You know, I go, seriously, that's it. That's all I got to do. You know, to get my freedom back. You know, I can plow up the roads. You know, give me my Jetson car, you SOBs. You know, I'm not flying around in my Jetson car because of the freaking government. Get them out of the way. Well, this is. And a lot of you know that I got my Jetson car. Yeah, to start making it now. Gyrocopter, man, go look at it. You know, the flying car, you think I'm kidding, man. It's a happening. All right, now this is what we're going to do. I want to make sure that we give Kevin every opportunity to express himself. And his main thing, he's like, man, you want Ron to come? I want Ron to come. Yeah, it's good because Donna put up on the video feed here. We got a bunch of pictures of you, Kevin, and you make a point of any well-known libertarian advocate of peace and freedom and live and whatever, man, you get your picture with them. And you go, yes, I'm, you know, this is who I want to associate with. And you'd like to, you know, even amp up your status even more, you know, by making sure you get Dr. Paul to come to your university. And you're not shy. You're like, you know, I can do this if you help. And I need you to sign the petition. So to make it easy on everybody that's listening that, you know, because doing the archive would be too late. And, you know, if they're not online right now, just give them a phrase that they can put in a Google search that will take them right to your petition. What should they search for?
Well, I would say the thing that they should search for is WCU Youth for Paul. That would probably be the quickest Google search that I could recommend.
Okay, now for the number four, not F-O-R, right?
I believe it is F-O-R. I think it's okay. WCU Youth for as in F-O-R for Paul.
Okay, WCU Youth for Paul. WCU mm-hmm. Youth for Paul. WCU Youth for Paul there three times. Okay. Now, what we're going to go ahead and encourage people to do is do that. Now, you're saying it only really helps if you're from Pennsylvania. If you're doing it from Alaska, it's not, you know, they doubt you're probably going to fly in, okay? So this is an opportunity for, you know, this, you know, get the guy some help. Yeah, it'd be cool if he did, because you know you're going to have a crowd. But it's how many gazillions and thousands and so, I mean, you know, I don't know. And they definitely, their time's precious. You know, they want to get the most bang. But, of course, you know, going to these smaller universities and so on, it doesn't matter. With 24 hours notice, everybody's there anyway. You know, I had seen this happen years ago. Now, we got business out of the way. This is what I want to start getting to. Yesterday, I was not a happy camper. Now, I'm on the air, and I was seething from the night before. When you have the, it doesn't matter how much of a demonstrate, years of demonstrating how generate, doesn't matter how the youth, anybody under 30 overwhelmingly and supported Dr. Paul over anything else. Doesn't matter what the future is going to be. Doesn't matter that you guys are going to be the ones going into industry and manufacturing and, you know, services and running the freaking planet. Doesn't matter that everybody's going to you guys saying, oh, guess what? You're the new tax slaves. You owe us. You're going to have to take care of us because we say. It doesn't matter that you guys got, you know, enormous amount of debt coming out of, you know, school with an education that has no job. You know, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Get on the plantation. Get to work, boy. You know, so so what do they say? They'll go to the ASU students and you'll have some of the, you know, little neocons there and they'll say, so how many people are in your group? Oh, we have meetings, you know, we'll get 100, 150, 200 people come by. You know, we're the most vibrant organization on campus. You know, we get invited a lot. We write. We have editors that are on the state newspaper, you know, the university newspaper. We have get our debate out there and opinion and put stuff in. Oh, man, they know we're here. Oh, and whenever we have big, you know, Ron Paul comes out there, thousands of people, you know, clog the thing. I mean, you know, every time, you know, this guy, he goes, well, how many people go to ASU? Oh, 70,000. You got 150. Oh, losers. Losers, losers, losers. And I'm like, you guys so deserve what's going to happen. And I'm, and I got to go to you. And I mean, do you experience this frustration, or are you you encouraged by what's happening and the people that have been just putting their head in the sand? No, it's not. The revolution's not coming. The revolution's not coming. The revolution's not coming. I mean, what is your feeling? Express to me. Make me feel better about, you know, what's happening on campuses and in your age bracket.
Well, truthfully, I am a little bit encouraged by what I see, because all over the college campuses, it used to be that this message and these ideas were virtually dead. I mean, it was at one point said with the libertarian movement, for example, that it could fit into, you know, into
a room
entirely into into somebody's living room. But now, everywhere I go, these messages, these words, these keywords, these ideas, the message of liberty, of Austrian economics, of understanding the Federal Reserve, of having a non-interventionist foreign policy, of reining back our empire and getting back our liberties, it's becoming more and more mainstream on a lot of the college campuses now, and a lot of people I know are going and flocking to their economics professors, and a lot of the professors are thinking, oh, you know, what, does everybody now have an interest in my economics class? And they're all going and saying, for example, no, we were wondering if you know anybody here who teaches Austrian economics. So these ideas are catching on all over the campuses. And you know what? I am encouraged by everything that I see out there right now, because more people are willing to get out there. They're willing to study these issues. They're willing to learn these issues. They're willing to promote these issues. And they're willing to inject these issues into the mainstream where they should belong, and they should have a right to be heard, and heard by as many, many people as possible.
Well, this is coming, this optimism is coming from what personal experience? I mean, I know you already expressed, yeah, I see this, and I go, yeah, but there had to have been an epiphany of some. There had to be that one single thing that you go, whoa, man, this is different. Here we go. I'm on board with this. When did that moment happen? What was it that brought you around?
Well, the thing that that personally drew me to these ideas is, actually, believe it or not, I'm 21 years old, but back when I was 14 years old, my mother gave me the greatest gift that I could possibly think for, and she homeschooled me. And I was homeschooled, and I had access to, I wasn't exactly, I didn't become a libertarian, or I didn't become a Ron Paul fanatic as soon as I was homeschooled, but in the process of being homeschooled, I was introduced to, I developed a vast interest in history and current events and political science, but for the most part, I was politically apathetic. And then when I was about 17 years old, and we had an election coming up, I'm sure you're aware, in 2008, and I think there was a guy from Texas running at that time, who I'm on here to talk about, and my friends and family would constantly say, "Well, who do you like? Who are you gonna get behind in 2008?" I'd say, "You know, I don't really care. I don't really know." And sure enough, I found Ron Paul, and I got really interested in these ideas and started studying and researching all the facts that he really laid out there for everyone.
And when we come back, more with Kevin Kelly about his personal transformation into an activist and doing whatever. But you know, what happens next? What about next year? And the year after that? And the year after that? And the year after that?
Take control of your money today and do it with style. Young Austrians are right now fashioning the silver economy. Would you like to take part? You'll find all the tools you need at DontTreadOnMeme.com. Don't Tread on Meme is the only place where you can get your hands on silver dime trading cards with the most unforgettable designs, like Clint Eastwood's Fistful of Silver Dollars, Murray Rothbard, Enemy of the State, the Ron Paul Lovelution, and the cover art of George Orwell's book 1984. Download the free silver calculator app from the iPhone or Android markets and get up-to-the-minute silver spot prices at your fingertips. And hey, we're all Austrians now, so why not express your passion for silver and promote the ideas of honest money with Don't Tread on Meme's clever apparel? Boycott an empire of theft. Buy silver. Trade with value. Build a society of consent. Do it all at DontTreadOnMeme.com. That's DontTreadOnMeme.com.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock. We have Kevin Kelly on from Pennsylvania. Now, I just, you know, just remind you, you know, it's real simple. Just Google WCU Youth 4 F-O-R Paul, and it'll come up. You know, he has a petition. He wants to make sure you might even throw the word petition in. WCU. So this is, you know, we want to help him out because there's Kevin's been in a lot of media. I mean, you do radio. You have local newspapers and such giving attention to you. But do you have a campus newspaper there, or do you use that at all?
We do have a campus newspaper there right now. We are we're in the process of reaching out to them, or I should say, I'm in the process of reaching out to them, and we are going to start generating buzz around the potential of a Ron Paul appearance either on the 23rd or the 24th. So we are actively reaching out.
So that would be, you want it to be on Monday or Tuesday? I don't know, man. That's primary prime time. You got to be the man. But, you know, we want to help. We want to help. We want to help. Now, this is the one thing, you know, the old saying goes from libertarian activists back in the day, and it was the first thing as a young man I'm kind of coming to grips with, and it was, you know, what's the difference between a libertarian and an anarchist, or voluntarist, or leave-me-alonist, or whatever you want to call them this week. So I'm going, I don't know what is. And they go, well, about, you know, 6 or 7 years if you're paying attention, which really equates to about 2 or 3 election cycles, okay? So if you go through, you know, you went through the first one, you know, did you get involved in 2010 at all for, you know, the, what do you call it, the midterm elections and so on? Did you get involved? Did anybody run for Congress or any of that kind of stuff?
Well, I personally was a I wasn't as actively involved as I am with the Ron Paul campaign right now, but we did have a we had a few good candidates run. For example, I'm sure you probably have heard of Jake Towne. Jake Towne was a candidate who ran out in Pennsylvania. He ran in he didn't run in my congressional district, but he ran out in the 15th congressional district, I believe. He ran as an independent. He had he was basically like a libertarian though, and we had I reached out to him a few times, tried to do what I can there, but I was not as actively involved in 2010.
So would you call this your second or third election cycle, or so? I mean, you know, I'm just kind of, this is what usually happens after you've been, you know, to the well, you know, or to the mountaintop, or to the soapbox, or to the whatever, you know, a few times. You kind of start to get it, you know? And I'm wondering, you know, what you're looking for after 2012. I mean, because this will come to an end. At some point, there will be, you know, what's next? I mean, there, of course, they would, the machine that they're trying to build around whatever, they would want your participation. They're going, Kevin, we're going to need you on board. And you go, okay, well, you know, why? What are you doing for me? Oh, you got a paycheck for me? Oh, you don't have a paycheck? Well, then what do you got for me? You know, why am I doing this? What are we? What's the mission? What's the goal? So I'm looking at 2012. Let's say you do get Ron to go to your event. You're successful. You know, you get a lot of attention in Pennsylvania. And all of a sudden, you know, it's after. And I am more encouraged by Dr. Paul having a larger presence in Tampa than people give it credit. I mean, even to the point that they still feel a threat that he might get the nomination. I know I'm the first one to point out the reality of, you know, look, man, they do not want this to happen. But if the economics get bad enough, which is very, very good chance of happening, they may want to have Ron Paul there just to justify the existence of the United States freaking government at all. And they go, you know, hey, man, we need Ron in there just to justify our existence, man, or none of us are going to have a job. So I'm, you know, these are the kind of thoughts that go through my head. I need to understand what you're looking for in the future.
Well, I would just also add to that in 2010, well, I'll tell you what I also did in 2010 that I'll probably do when the Ron Paul campaign eventually comes to a close and this moves on. is I will I'll be doing what I'm doing, for example, right now, which is I gave interviews to radio stations across the country. I gave interviews to my local radio station. I reached out actively to campuses and to organizers all over the state of PA to try and organize more events, to try and organize more activities for people to get involved with. So that's what I'll be doing.
To do what? Focus on what? Advocating for what?
Well, it depends, for example. So, for example, we have End the Fed in Philly, and that was something that I will definitely be getting involved with to try and get the word out, to get people out there to look at the Federal Reserve, look at how it's playing, the role it's playing in our economy right now, and try and reach out to people who maybe have not heard this message yet. I mean, Ron Paul is running, and there are some people that still aren't convinced yet or aren't really attuned to what's going on. So I'll be actively reaching out to those people as well. And I think that at the end of the day, when, as you said, the same fear that you have or that you have made clear is the same fear that I ultimately have, which is that, and I've expressed this to friends, is that when this campaign is said and done, Ron Paul is great, but he is not the be-all, end-all of this movement. I want this message he carries to live past his campaign into the future, carried on by people like me and by people like yourself and by dozens of people across the country. That's what I want, and that's what I strive for. I hope these ideas continue to flourish, and I want these ideas put out and injected into the mainstream. That's what I really want right now.
Well, how would you take advantage of that? I mean, you're going, okay, everybody, do we all understand we're all good now? Well, you know exactly what put us into this depression, why we're in this line, why we're dying, why we're starving. I mean, you know, we understand now. Now what? So then a lot of people will say, well, it's only politics. You got to get out there and, you know, run for office. You got to vote. You got to this. Or you got to homeschool everybody. Or you got to free them from the military and industrial complex empire of in some way. Or get them off of the mandatory youth indoctrination camps. Or you see, there's always some focus on how how many minds can you free? I'm hip to that. You know, can you move to a hippie commune that's libertarian or what? I mean, you know, whatever it is. There is, it's an evolving thing. Freedom is the answer. What's the question? I understand that. But the point is that I'm looking at a 21-year-old young man that sees that Dr. Paul is the best representation right now, certainly on a national, if not international level, of what needs to happen, where this is going, how we're going to free ourselves, what mindset we should have to recognize what's coming. Then what? You know, I mean, there's always a then what? Then freaking what? I'm going, you know, how do you survive? I mean, you're going to what? You know, do politics, get paid in some way? Do you have a preference as a profession? Are you going to be able to go live your life free? Or are you just going to be advocating for that? I understand the passion on this. I just need to, you know, you look 10 years into your future. Do you have wife and kids? And you're buying a bunch of silver now. I mean, you know, this is so. That's the kind of thing that I want to understand. In the last segment, we'll get more into that because I want to make sure that the young out there and the other people are inspired by your understanding of just because a decade goes by in a heartbeat. We were just talking last night, you know, some little dog that we got, you know, our son back then. They go, oh, little Harvey, the puppy. He's 7 years old now. I'm like, what? Where the heck did 7 years just go? You know, so it's going to happen to you. And I'm looking, you know, I want to know your central five-year Soviet plan, you know, or something, which, you know, it's usually a waste of time because it keeps changing. But, you know, when we come back, I want to get from you the future. You see in your mind's eye where you're at, where you're going, and why. And I'd start it now, except that you're hitting right up on the music. But, you know, I in the last segment here, no more campaigning for, you know, blah, blah, blah. We got all this WCU youth for Paul. Go search it, boom, and it'll blow up all over, help him out and sign the petition. But now I get what I want. I got you got your commercial, now I get what I want. I want to know what your plan is for you, you know, and why, your motivation. I mean, what's the game plan? Because you have the skills, obviously.
Freedom is the answer.
What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Yeah, I want to break free. Well, I know Kevin Kelly does too, and how many ways to do it. And when you're 21, you can start having an imagination of how I'm going to, whatever. You know, what needs to be done. I know how this is, man. Once you get the bug, you know, man, ooh, but there's two different kinds of bugs. One, you know, the pleasure and the satisfaction and the self-preservation of sharing the truth with people when you know what's what coming and, oh, my goodness, the end is nigh and can we just survive and keep breathing in and out and people that I love and want to associate with, you know, be on the other side of this, what's coming. That's a good idea. Now, Kevin, we were talking off air, you know, in this, and we'll get more into it, but I want to emphasize this one thing. He would like to continue his studies to give him the ability to, you know, share this, maybe even teach in classroom, do, you know, whatever. And talks about, you know, hey, you know, we might be able to do internet podcast, do a radio show, whatever, and I want to bring this up. If you guys Google Ernest Hancock and Ian Freeman, I-A-N Freeman. That's Ian is the gentleman who owns the network, and he does Free Talk Live. Now, we did an hour or more that was solely focused on exactly that. We had graphics. We gave pictures of the equipment, how much it cost, what the capacities you needed to have, you know, as a minimal, have the quality of this show. I mean, do exactly what we're doing. You wouldn't tell the difference. You can do the video. All this stuff, all the equipment is available right there, and the ability to jack into the network, the ability to do satellite, all that information is right there. The first thing I get people, the reason we did it is because I started getting a lot of inquiries from people just like Kevin. Young people say, hey, my parents will buy, I get $300 worth of crap. You know, what mixer do I get? Can I do it for that? How much are the microphone? I mean, you know, we said, all right, here we go. You know, there was enough interest that we did that. So I encourage you to do that, Kevin, because I, you know, some young people like need to be in there that has this understanding and communicate it with the planet from your perspective. And so we did that to help. And I want to make sure that you know that resource is available. It's been a great benefit to a lot of people at a lot of different levels. Now, this is, go ahead and tell us about, you know, using your education now, you're homeschooled, you go to university, you're starting to accumulate knowledge, and you're thinking the future is what? You're going to share that and how, and give me your ideas.
Well, I would say the thing that I would like to do is I'd like to eventually, as I mentioned to you, that I would like to double major in American history and political science and inject these issues into whatever university I hopefully teach at one day. And really the one thing that inspired me was, I mentioned at the beginning of your program that I was homeschooled, but I was only homeschooled for about 3 years, and then after that, I went to public school. And being in public school was a real eye-opener, because in a lot of the classrooms and in a lot of the settings there's really no debate, there's no really any critical thinking. And one of the things that I've often heard, I think a family member of mine said, is when they heard I was going to public school, they said, what do they teach you today, Kevin? Do they teach you to believe, or do they teach you how to think? And I would say, well, they definitely didn't teach me how to think. So I would really like to learn these issues, take these issues and eventually help inject these into a school one day where I can hopefully teach at, and not get people to hammer this into their head or use force against an individual to say, you must believe this, you have to believe this, but to say to them, to get them to at least think and to at least explore these ideas and get them interested enough to say, you know what, during my downtime, I am going to take a look at the Federal Reserve. I'm going to take a look at this thing called the military-industrial complex and how the American empire is intertwined in this. So that is my long-term goal that I'm hoping to strive for. And you mentioned your YouTube video, which I'm very happy you highlighted. Maybe eventually I'll maybe soon start up a podcast or a radio show or do an internet web show to help get the word out that way. I mean, there's just so many ways right now that we can use the tools that we have right now in whatever field we're in to really take this message and inject it out there for everyone to hear.
Well, one thing I want to encourage you is also don't get locked into the idea that you need to get a government paycheck job teaching, getting classroom kind of, because the ultimate goal is how many minds can you open? Can you free? Mm-hmm. Can you inform? And there's so many ways of doing that, certainly from a young perspective such as you, because I give you an example. We got to get into the classroom so that we can start to infect the minds, and I could do, you know, hundreds a year and have them, and they would tell hundreds and hundreds, and all of a sudden this whole area, blah, 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 and this one 13-year-old was able to share some Mises information to, you know, hundreds of thousands on Facebook. And I'm going, you know, how do you balance that? You know, what's the, you know, the most effective use of the time and so on? So while I understand what you're saying, you got to keep in mind the ultimate goal. How many minds can you free? And then how best to do that? A lot of times it does give you credibility or access or information or resources or whatever to do it in the classroom. But I mean, don't limit yourself, because I mean, damn, you know, there's a cultural shift coming on. And I want to get your perspective on that. There's a this what you came into school, you started to go back into public school, you had the experience of homeschooling, you got your mind, your imagination sparked, and that's what I see public education does. It's kill the imagination. You can't even imagine anything different, you know. And so you go in, you got your imagination intact, you're informing yourself, you're sharing with others. And what impact do you think the culture and the perspective of your peers and what you guys discuss is an impact, as opposed to the institutions, the school itself, voting, politics, Washington? You know, does one drive the other? Which one's more important? How do you express this amongst your peers? I mean, you know, give me a snapshot of your life with your friends.
In terms of my life and my friends, I would just say that if we are discussing politics, for example, I have friends who are, for example, who are libertarians, and it's not really all that hard to convince them of these issues or let them know where I stand. But if I'm coming from somebody, if it's coming from a friend of mine who's maybe, you know, a hardcore leftist or a hardcore rightist, you really have to, you know, I try and put it in a perspective that they can relate to, or at least try to get them to see it from a different perspective. So, for example, if I have somebody on the far right, who's a friend of mine who I'm talking to, and they say, you know, yeah, I can't stand big government. I can't stand the, you know, the big government getting in our lives. You know, we need to cut spending here. But then they'll go on this long tangent about how we need to keep 900 bases around the world and about how we need to have being over 150 countries. And I'll kind of relate it back to, well, don't you think that if you're going to be opposed to big government here at home, we need to be opposed to big government overseas as well, where we're pushing in the face of so many of these countries right now? And the intention is not to argue with them or to get at two podiums and debate with them, but the intention of it is to get them, as I said previously, in terms of education, is to just get them to think. Is to at least get them to think about these issues. So at times when talking to some of my friends, it's very easy in some cases to reach out to some people, but I would say the key is just to finding common ground and getting them to look at an issue from a different perspective, because some of them out there haven't made that connection like you and I have, or the dozens of your listeners have. They haven't quite made the connection yet that the system is collapsing, it is coming down, we are headed for ruin, for a financial collapse or whatever. And people need to wake up to that. So the key that I have with a lot of my friends is just, how do you approach it? How do you get that little bit into their head to get them to at least start thinking or dwelling on a specific issue, or get them to see it from a different perspective that will hopefully move them in the right path?
You know, well said. But I mean, you know, my whole thing is we just need to keep breathing in and out. We just got to survive what's coming. And I'm just hoping that, you know, that's one of the things. It's like, how many minds can you free? In fact, I was speaking at the FedStock last year in Philly. And and I go, you know, it's not about just how many minds you can free. It's about how many asses you can save. Because, we're you know, we're getting to that point now. Well, make sure you save your ass, Kevin. I mean, you know, because we're going to need you on the other side. because there's going to be another side. In the end, freedom always wins. It just gets really, really messy first. Well, survive the mess. Kevin Kelly, WCU, Youth for Ron Paul petition. You want to get Ron Paul to go to Pennsylvania at WCU. And I appreciate you coming on, Kevin. Stay right there. I want to talk to you for a second. We'll be right back with Morpheus in the next hour.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah. Welcome to Declare Your Independence. I'm here in the Stancock. Yep, Kevin Kelly, you know, I like when you have these young people, because they really assert themselves, they rise to the top. You know, you just give enough time, you find these guys, they're out there, you know, from Lord knows where. And this is, I'll give you an example. When I was, I was 89, I'm just starting to get, you know, aware of all, I could see what was coming. By that time, 88, 89, around in there, as I go, oh, I get it, man. These guys, man, they have no idea what they're messing with. I was these young people. I just go, and look, this more people understand what's really going on, man. Oh, it's all over. And there were a lot of people that did, but they wrapped it in something. It was an organization. It was John Birch Society. It was their Christianity. It was a faith. It was a party. It was a something else. And it hadn't really trickled down to the individual, except how the individual was going to help their little collective that was telling everybody to be individuals as long as you're in our collective, and we'll advocate for the collective and as individuals. And I'm just going, look, man, I don't need to be part of a club. You know, is there anybody out there that just understands that I just want to be left alone? Well, it was libertarian philosophy. And then they got their own little clubs, too. But, you know, whenever I see someone that's doing the kind of stuff, and we'll be talking to Morpheus in a minute, he's one of these guys, you know, except, he's a little bit older, but he's no less energy, man. The guy's out there. Now, what we're going to do, he's on his way now, and we'll catch him on the phone a little bit here. And I'm suffering. You can sit there and suffer because he's late. He's a slacktivist, but he's coming in. The guy's going to be telling us all the stuff that he's doing, and we'll be running some graphics up there. When I see these young people, or even guys, you know, Morpheus doing what he's doing, you know, especially guys like Morpheus, at least he's got some experience and track record and so on. We know we're getting a good investment in him. But when you see these young people, what are you thinking? You know, I know what I experienced, energy. You know, support of family and friends, you know, probably a lot more than most. You get, you know, to stay another couple of years in the basement. You know, you get to do a little bit more work without, you know, a whole lot of kids and family and stuff you got to have priority for, and, you know, livelihood, doing what you can, start to focus on what you want to do, you know, what's you're passionate about, you know, and all the other stuff will come. But that's starting to happen with these young people. You're having in the late 20s, even 30s, you know, because 5 years, you know, that's 25 to 30. That's 20 to 25. All of a sudden, they're in the world. They got to start, you know, finding a place and how to live and negotiate with the state, you know, or be in such a way you can get in the cracks or do it. But you want to encourage these people because what? They turn into culture. They turn into an entire country based on people that have experienced and lived this advocacy of freedom in their own lives, who they associate with, you know, who they make fun of, you know? It's like, you know what, that guy, commie, neocon, just statist, kept you know, and know that I get angry with people that have, they'll have pensions and money and everything in the stock market, they'll get that crap beat out of them in 08. They'll start to go, okay, I get it. And they'll go buy the silver or something. It shoots up. Whoa, yeah, and then it goes down. Oh, panic and everything and sell. Oh, and I missed the stock market going on. And then it's up to 13,000, but I'm going, yeah, but the same dollars are really worth like 6,000. You know, what kind of goodies can you buy? How much is gas? And oh, it went up and the Arab's fault. It never even occurs to them, even after all this experience and everybody telling them that it's a depreciation of the value of the dollar. I mean, it doesn't even occur to them. Don't even say it on CNBC. Oh, we're at the record highs. Crap. And then what's happening, imploding in Europe, and they just, no, they said that there's no chance of. Well, heck, they said that the day before it went in 08. I mean, you know, I don't know if I should, you know, have some sympathy, if I should worry about them, if I should try and keep advocating, you know, helping, you know, and putting forth that effort, or I'm just waiting for this older generation to just die off, literally. And I say that a lot, and it pisses them off. And I'm going, why? You know, what else am I waiting for? You to get it? How much evidence do you need? What are you waiting for? What piece of information do you need? You know, you're just in the freaking way. As much as the elite will look at all of us, oh, you're just, you know, feeders. You're just livestock. You know, you're there to serve us. You're too stupid to be able to take care of yourself. We're just, you know, want you to be brain dead. You know, we need your body. We need your effort. We need your labor. We just don't want you to be too educated. We don't want you to have too much self-awareness. We just want you to be a horse and, you know, head down plow. Mule. That's what they want. Heck, that's maybe what they're trying to create. I'm not a big, giant conspiracy. I mean, there's always, you know, follow the money. I mean, there's always some reason somebody's doing something. It's, you know, access to power and wealth. I mean, it's just whatever. And if it can maintain and enhance the get in my lifeness of the government, I mean, they're doing it. Do you think that, does it maintain or enhance their power and intrusiveness over my life to benefit the blah, blah? Well, then they're doing it. Now, I just need to know if they can they? Well, then they are. You know, so they'll go like chemtrails. I mean, man, there is a lot here. I'm like, wow, this isn't, we're the environmentalists, man. They'll sit there and tell you about whatever whale, but I'm going, you know, it's right there. You at least pretend or make up something. You think you'd have a fundraiser. I got to be some environmental Democrat somebody. All this other stuff is invisible fear, and we don't understand, but except that. I'm going, I tell you why it really started peeing me off, man. It was yesterday. My son-in-law's father visiting, you know, from had the baby, grandbaby, and all that kind of stuff, and he leaves today. And yesterday, we went golfing. Every time he comes and visits, we always make an opportunity to make sure we go golfing. I can't, and my eyesight's fine. And this was, everybody else had the same problem. Because of the chemtrails, you know, it's amazing, you know, the kind of things that just piss you off and why. You know, totally unrelated. Because of this gray haze that now lives over Phoenix, I mean, they start it in the morning, and it just goes, I think it's just, they just add it to the jet fuel, or it's like, you know, aluminum, whatever, like you used to put lead and gasoline and no-knock engine. Gulf, you know, Corporation used to always put, you know, make that no-knock, you know, and all this, they take the lead out of the gas, because it just kind of, I don't know, it was like a lubrication, or helped with your engine lifters, or who cares, but it was such a poison, they just, you know, start taking it out. Well, they may be just throwing all this crap into the jet fuel because they can, or they're, does whatever, you know, I don't know. How come Greenpeace doesn't have a Learjet following jets and taking samples or something? How come? We're getting samples on the ground here, we know what's going on there, but I'm just like, you know, this is not good. So, as we're golfing, we hit the ball, I lose every single ball. All four of us sitting there, it went up in, and the gray haze just camouflaged the ball. It just disappears into the sky because it's the same color. I'm just, you know, I need to have a flashing neon orange ball. I just, it's funny how you can, you know, little things like this. I remember when I was a kid, contrails didn't look like that. The sky was, but here in Phoenix, it is always blue sky. Except for the past couple of years. And they'll blah, 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 blah. Oh, well, it's just, you're crazy. I'm going, yeah, whatever. I don't care. Let me tell you what the result is. I can't find my golf ball. Damn it. I'm protesting. I'm going to Washington. I'm in the streets because I keep losing my golf ball. But I know where it's at. It's right in the middle of the fairway every time, as far as you know. So I'm going, you know, it's this little stuff that Bob, people start going, they go, what? Their head comes out of the sand trap and they say, what? You know, something's going on. Something's going on. You know, okay, so let's check right where the music starts. Now I'll do it. Okay, Morpheus, how far away are you?
I'm almost here.
Almost?
I should get my coffee cup.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to mess up your day. All right, well, Morpheus is on his way. He's coming in. He'll be here. You going to be here before the next segment starts?
Yeah, I'm right here.
All right, cool. He made it, finally. We'll be right back with Morpheus in just a little bit.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
It ain't so groovy when you're screaming in the night. Let me out of this cheap TV movie. You're rushing headlong, out of control, and you think you're so strong, but there ain't no stopping, and you can't stop rocking, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, there's something you can do about it. There's always something. And Tomas. Oh, Morpheus. Morpheus.
Hey, Ernie. How you doing?
I'm more than wonderful now that you're here. You know, there's always something you can do about it. And Thomas has always got something to, you know, say about what can be done. And he's not afraid to just do it. So he comes and says, hey, man, I'm going to go do this thing. You know, help me out. We'll go do the thing. Yeah, go do your thing. Let me see what happens. Boom. He's doing his thing. I want to hear about what your thing is. This is going to Las Vegas. You know, what prompted that? What was the beginning of your trip here? How did that come about?
Well, I felt like we needed to get it more into the streets with the Ron Paul revolution because we are moving towards the end of the race. And I'm looking at this as like a NASCAR race. And all we have to do, it doesn't matter how we go into the race, it just matters how we win. And we're in the 490th lap of the Daytona 500, and the Ron Paul car is in last place. But the only thing is the Ron Paul car is being driven by Dale Earnhardt. Okay, and what we got to do is that the track officials have thrown some junk out into the track, and they've damaged our tires. So what we got to do is we got to get the Ron Paul car back into the pits real fast. We're going to do a quick tire change, but while we got the car in the pits, we're going to pull open the motor and we'll pull out the restrictor plate real fast, and then put the carburetor back on and let Dale boogie on down the road.
So what do you think is going to accomplish that? I mean, we're at the there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. You know, Ron's understanding of how the process works. Well, the bad guys are so focused on what the talking heads on TV are saying, thinking that is the campaign. And, you know, we know that at the end of the process, it's going to come down to who has the most delegates. Okay, you just do reverse engineering. Now, this isn't complicated. All right, how did they get there? You know, who voted for him? Who's eligible to be voted for? And so it goes back to where all of a sudden all your little games that you guys playing doesn't matter anymore. It's about how can we get the delegates? Well, they start racking them up, and they're like, yeah, damn it, man. We didn't want that to happen. So in Alaska, you know, there's a big controversy going on right now. I hadn't even done the details. I don't need to look. I already know what's happening because they can. You said, you know what? Only pro-Romney delegates need apply. And you go, yeah, but what about, oh, I'm sorry. Didn't you get the memo? You know, this is how this works.
And I went to a meeting here that they did that.
Well, go ahead and tell me about it.
Well, I went to a meeting down on 24th Street and like Indian School where they have the Republican main office, I guess. And I met a few people, Todd Kanderas and David Snodgrass, who were conveniently removed from the ballot and were put in as write-in candidates. Well, of course, you know, if you're written on the ballot, you have a much better chance of winning rather versus being written in.
For what? Is delegates?
So, yeah, so delegates. So they
so
had,
they just took them off the ballot.
Well, they were alternate delegates, but they're not delegates, so people have to drop out. And I forget the guy's name who was the head muckety-muck that
they,
did
them,
that.
Those, you know. So it's just, you know, this kind of stuff's happening all over. And, you know, you can whine and complain about it, but, I mean, you know, if the machine doesn't want you to play, you got to come up with another game or another machine or another way, which there is
or
an
working
effort.
The game, finding the loopholes in the game and then exploiting them.
I tell you what the exploitation is bring your freaking video camera.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what happened in Missouri. You know, people show, they say, first thing, there will be no videotaping. Well, you know it's over right there.
Well, you know, last night I went to, I don't know if anyone knows this, but John Kulak sponsored a team in Mesa that's called the Ron Paul team.
Team of what?
It's a baseball team. They're fast pitch 7th and 8th graders. And I went down there last, I found out about it the day before. And I said, wow, let's put this on the meetup and let's go to the game and, you know, cheer on the Ron Paul team.
Oh.
So I went down there with my camera. Unfortunately, no one else showed up, but hey, that's okay. I videotaped the team, and unfortunately, you know, I was there, and one of the coaches came up to me after I got just done getting some incredible video, and he goes, oh, you're not allowed to videotape here. And I'm like, oh, there's minors.
Whoa, time up. You can't videotape a Little League baseball game or something?
It's against their regulations, and it's their private group, so you can't do it. So I had to delete the video.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, he you know, he said, you know, that's their rules, and I'm like, oh, wow. You know, and then we're dealing with minors, and, you know, it's like, oh, okay.
Oh,
I got you.
Yeah.
So I deleted the video. But it really was not.
Did they win?
Well, they were winning when I left, but I was so busy because I'm getting ready for this trip, and it's like I don't even have time to, you know, I brought out my sign and, you know, had, you know, was videotaping. Everyone was like, wow, why are you videotaping? Oh, because this is the Ron Paul team. This is big news, man. I would have been cool to have a whole bunch of supporters go out there and cheer for him.
We have a gazillion of us going out with our, you know, smartphones. I don't know how they're going to stop video. Whatever.
Yeah, you can get a hold of John Kulak. He has the schedule. I don't have the rest of the schedule.
All right, that'd be cool. You know, we'll send me the information. Don, what would Donna look up to put up there on the site?
I don't know. You can call John Kulak. I'll give you his number.
Okay, just, you know, the name John Kulak, and then what was the name of the team?
The Ron Paul team.
The Ron Paul team baseball. Yeah. That's it. You go Google search that. It'll blow up all over the place, I am sure. Okay. So let's go ahead and talk about your project. I mean, you're wanting to – we got a couple minutes in this segment. You know, kind of give us an overview of what it is that you're hoping to accomplish.
Well, what we need to do is we won the internet war, we won the sign war, we won the debate war. So now what they're beating us with is the media campaign to get us to change our minds. Now,
You mean change our minds?
They're wanting to change our minds into believing that Ron Paul is not the right candidate. Ron Paul is the only candidate. I mean, if we don't get him in, we are walking dead people, as far as I'm concerned.
I think we're pretty much there anyway. He just, you know, handled the bankruptcy.
Well, man, I just
which would be better than anybody else, you know. But still, that to think that we're going to stop, and I think Dr. Paul has started to acknowledge that. You know, he's like, look, you know, we keep saying if we don't this and if we don't that, this will happen. He goes, look, it's already happening. You know, there's no stopping what's coming. It's surviving it. And I'd really rather have him there, because if there's not, they're going to drag this out for decades if they can.
Yeah, that's what it's turning everyone into slaves.
So this is, what is it you're hoping to do?
Well, I'm exposing people to the pocket constitution, and what that is that it has a booklet that includes information on jury nullification. It talks about the Ten Commandments, where our law came from. It talks about the kinds of Communist Manifesto, the planks of the Communist Manifesto. I defy anyone that, after reading the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, if you determine we're still in a capitalist country or not.
So it's a citizen rule book, right?
Yeah.
The Constitution. And this has been used since, heck, as far as I know, the early 90s or 80s. I mean, you know, it may have been way before that. This was what was the handout, the pamphlet, the internet, you know, back in the day. It was the Facebook. It was, we get these by the cases. It was a very effective tool. And Ron uses it himself. In fact, I used to carry one around my pocket all the time.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I'm here today to stand up and say how I feel about my home sweet home. What's left, what's right, and what's wrong. And I'm taking my country back. Son, you ain't been doing her. don't like how you've been treating my stars and stripes. You took our jobs and sent them overseas. Now we owe billions to the red Chinese. You blew the budget and you bossed Iraq. So I'm taking my country back.
Yeah, that's Morpheus. He's just, you ain't been doing me right. Now, these pocket constitutions, you can buy them by the bulk and do whatever, but let me tell you what Morpheus has done. He's taken and he's put Ron Paul information in there, and he has some sponsors and different websites that he promotes and so on. But this is seen as, you know, the freedom manual for the Ron Paul movement. And I used to carry one of these around in my suit jacket all the time when I would be doing campaigning and so on. Because a lot of times there's different things that you would reference. You go, you know, all right, there'd be some candidate up there going blah, blah, blah about what the Declaration of the Constitution or Bill of Rights says. And I was going, really? Let's take a look and see. So this is, and that's why Dr. Paul would use, he's like, look, man, you know, you keep talking about this social contract that I'm in that I never freaking signed, but let's take a look at the contract. Well, it doesn't have my signature on it, but what, how you're, the promise you're making and what it says, you're a lying sack of snot. That's not what it says.
I'd love to go over that one with you too, Ernie.
Please.
Okay, on page 37, we have Article 1, Section 8, and this is what Congress is allowed to do. All the rest of this stuff before that is this, their internal mechanism of how they're running their government. But this is what it says they have the power to do. And it says, the Congress shall, which is one of those important words like thou shalt not kill, have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises. Does it say anything about income tax in there?
Well, you know, they say they changed it.
Okay, to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. Well, what happened then is, do you know what the word general welfare means, Ernie?
I know what they want to say it means. It means whatever the heck they say it means.
Well, it's interesting because in 1936 they had the Butler case, and in the Butler case they redefined what the word general welfare meant. Before that, for 150 years before the Butler case in 1936, general welfare meant if the government had $100,000 to distribute and there's 100,000 people, everybody gets a dollar. The distribution of wealth has to be equal across the whole board. Well, then in 1936 in the Butler case, they said, oh, general welfare means whatever the government says is good for the country.
You know, and that's where the definition of words come in. It was Webster, you know, Webster Dictionary. That was one of the reasons why, you know, the dictionary started, was because they wanted to have from the American Revolution on one of the advocates for having words have meaning, you know, and that they need to be well defined because they'll change over time.
Right.
So George Orwell, slavery is freedom. I mean, you know, that's how they operate. And what general welfare, as I understood it when you read the documents, is that the general welfare of the United States, for the general welfare, was freedom. I mean, they, you know, to be left alone, that we're not, you know, that was the purpose of government as promised in the Declaration of Independence. But the thing is described. So I'm going, you know, can see that if you spend any time with anybody that has constitutional law, or like Butler Schaefer being a constitutional professor, he makes this point a lot. The definition of the words is the second that you gave the government, the Supreme Court, which is the government, I mean, where do they get their paycheck and their black robe? The second you gave them the authority and the power to define what the Constitution meant, well, the people just got left out of the equation. Okay, I mean, you can blah, blah, blah all you want. Bottom line is, we're going to go and find out what this means. Okay, we'll go ask the government what it means. Government says it's whatever the government says it means. Oh, so here comes the Bill of Rights. You have the First Amendment to complain and the Second Amendment to say I get to keep complaining.
Yeah, but you don't have the right. You have the right to petition a redress of grievances, but they don't have a right. They don't have the right to have to respond to you, as Bob Schultz found out.
No, that was, now we followed that a lot. Bob Schultz, you know, he wanted to check off all the boxes. So what he did is he goes and he says, yeah, here's our petition for redress of grievance. He goes to Washington. He serves it on people. Finally, after, you know, arrests and all this other, finally, and V-mask and everybody doing, finally, you know, they say, okay, we got it. All right? Let me tell you what the ruling of the government is. Yes, you have the right to petition your government for redress of grievance, which was lawsuits. Okay? There's been case law on that I've used in my own cases. Yes, you have the right to petition
for
redress, but you don't have a right to an answer.
Right, this is what it says. Article 1, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people to peaceably to assemble and the petition the government for redress of grievances. This is the only part of the Bill of Rights that made it through every single draft of the Bill of Rights was the right of the people to petition the government for redress of grievances, which comes back from the Magna Carta, which is where we got our law from.
You know, there was a point in here. I wonder if it has it here, Article 15. Let's go look at the Bill of Rights. When you have – it was the preamble to the Bill of Rights that I thought was interesting. They always kind of skip over. And mm-hmm. It was, we're saying, okay, we're doing this bill because they wouldn't ratify the Constitution without it. Patrick Henry is like, man, as governor of Virginia, he's going, you know, I smell a rat. These guys are collectivizing power, and Art Hamilton's behind it, that scumbag. And they were going, no, don't ratify this. And that's how to get it ratified. That's what why the Bill of Rights is put in there, the 10 thou shalt nots of government. You know,
yeah, so it's pretty strong there.
And in the preamble, it says the conventions of a number of the states. This is part of the Bill of Rights. They never show you this part.
Mm.
The conventions of a number of the states having at the time of their adopting the Constitution expressed a desire in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added, and as extending the ground of public confidence in the government will best ensure the beneficent ends of its institution. Article 1, and then it goes in. The whole reason they did the Bill of Rights,
that is pretty strong,
Ernie, was to prevent the next revolution. I mean, they were ready to go in revolt already.
Right.
And they go, all right, well, we're going to put all these restrictions on. He goes, you know, you might as well just – what happens when you have the powers of the legislative, executive, and the judicial aligned against the rights of the individual? Find yourself in a free speech zone. That's what happens. And that was the point that Patrick was making. He's going, look, you know, they go, oh, we got these balance of powers. Balance for what? It's executive, legislative, judicial versus the people. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's the pirate class versus the slave class.
So this was well understood at the time, and they knew that they Articles of Confederation was, you know, what was really going on, and they wanted to, you know, say, man, that's not collective enough. We need to collectivize it more. So this was it was a long time before I even realized that there was a preamble that was part of the Bill of Rights. I didn't know that. And when I read this, I'm going,
I haven't read that in a long time. Honestly, that's even stronger than all the rest of them put together.
Well, the point was is that they knew that there was a libertarian streak, the anti-federalist at the time. They would have the discussion. It was like a Facebook discussion or an email list or a blog entries or, you know, comments, letters to the editor or whatever. But it was called the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers that was being argued in the print media of the day. And it was a big deal. They were like, look, man, we already see where this goes. You give the central power in their own little 10-square-mile district of, you know, you might as well just crown them, you know? So they were well understood, you know, what was happening, and they were hoping that the Bill of Rights would keep them in check. It would hold them off. And the First Amendment was all about, you know, we get to complain and do and think and be free in our minds. Because the king was always, oh, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to dissent. We go, no, that's the first thing we get to do. Oh, and to make sure we get to keep doing it, that's what the second's for. Now, the second is back up for the first. That's what's going on. So as they restrict what you get to say, what you get to share, you know, the more likely they are that people are going to physically rebel. But I'm of the mind that that's what they want. They need to have insurrection. Well, Morpheus is an insurrector in a different way. We're going to talk about his insurrection when we come back.
This is Charles Goyette, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Dollar Meltdown, so you can learn how to protect yourself and your family. Now, you can audit the Fed. You can end the Fed. But why not start by ignoring the Fed? Visit DontTreadOnMeme.com. That's Don't Tread on MEME, Fashioning the Silver Economy. A meme, a contagious idea that spreads within a culture, a spontaneous order. Nowhere is this more evident than in one's free choice in that most marketable of commodities, money. Let us Austrians use wallet voting. Don't Tread on Meme, the leading craftsman of silver dime trading cards, as well as some offbeat Liberty-themed apparel. Follow the history of the dime card outreach at onceuponadime.info and get a silver calculator app at whatisthiscoinworth.info. Boycott an empire of theft. Build a society of consent. Don't Tread on Meme. There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Looky what I got. Oh, these, you know what these are? Yeah, if you're watching on the video, it's kind of like a tack, like a, you know, you're playing a jacks. You know, it's like a jack. Because what we're doing is Morpheus brought these over. We're going to go shooting today. Me and Andrew and Alex. Alex from Don't Tread on Mimi. You know, we're going to go out shooting today. I got sight in my little 10/22. You know, I finally got, you know, my strap thick. That I want to go sight that bad boy in, because you know what? I'm going to go get my rifleman at Appleseed. You know, I went and then I didn't get it because, oh, my sights weren't on. I was most peeved. And I'm going, yep, I'm a better rifleman than this. I got to get this all set up, get my 10/22 all set up with collapsible stock and a nice deal, getting the scope and everything. Ooh, we're going to go out practicing today. So Morpheus came by with these. He's selling these things. And I'm like, you know, we can manufacture these, man. I'm doing, yeah, or you got a guy doing it. All right, we'll just muscle in on them. Anyway, these right here for sale. Now I'll go ahead and put this up if he's got a site or prices and so on. We'll go ahead and put it up on the archive today. We'll get these bad boys up. Because what it is like a tack. You have a target, and then you got big ones, too. Oh, you know, these big giant.
You can work out with them, too.
Yeah, dang, man. These are heavy metal. And then I wanted to see that different rounds, you know, show me the different rounds that hit. Because like this one here. Got an SKS round and didn't go through. I have, you know, a lot of this stuff. It just goes right through, you know.
But yeah, it's armor plate.
Yeah, this is – so these are good because you hit them. You don't have to go put them up again. They just stand right back up. It's like what do you call those punching bags? You know, those roly-poly things or something.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
Right, a weeble wobbler that, you know, it doesn't blow up when you hit it with a bullet either. So this is, you know, good for out here in the desert. I mean, I'm really looking for – I'm going to buy them all, okay? You know, because this is exactly what I – because I got different things that you can do. And so, but you know, I got to go out there.
We're
and
looking
keep,
for distributors around the country.
All right, we'll put it up. You get to do your salesman thing.
No, hey, that's how, yeah. I fund myself, you know. I'm full self-funding through,
well,
my own contributions.
Before we get done with this segment today, you know, how are we going to help you do this, go in Vegas, whatever? Tell us what we can do right now. See, Morpheus is all, yeah, well, I don't have bank account, and I don't this, and I don't that, and I'm going, okay, so how are we going to get your money? You know, what are we going to do? Who are we going to send it? You help me out here. I want to help. What are we going to do?
Yeah, we'll figure it out. You know,
yeah, we'll figure it out now,
yeah,
before the
segment. You can
always
Western Union it.
To what?
To Western Union.
So you just go to Western Union, yeah, Morpheus, give me my money?
Yeah, you have a code, and you have some predetermined code ahead of time.
You got me a code? Give me a code.
I'll give you a code.
Yeah, see, I mean, you guys are killing me, you know? I tell you what we can do. If you want to help Morpheus on this thing, go to Freedom's Phoenix, and we have a contribution button there. And let me see where it is. Hopefully it's everywhere. You go up, it says join us. On the horizontal navigation bar at the top, it says join us, and it goes contribute funding. Now, in this, you know, it's just a way from credit card or PayPal or whatever that you can, you know, give money. In the PayPal, there's comments that you do there, and you say, Morpheus Las Vegas, Morpheus Las Vegas Project, system rule book thing, whatever, you know, because, and for their money, they're doing that, you know, because we've had some of us giving you some money to kind of go out and take,
I've gone
get
well
going.
Several times.
So we wanted to see before, you know, we started promoting it and putting our name, and I feel a lot more comfortable after Morpheus actually did it. So go ahead and tell the people what you're doing.
Well, this time I'm going back up there with a contingency of more people to go up to Vegas. And the beauty behind Vegas is, if you know me, you know I like to street pedal. So I figured, well, where's a place I can go to? I have unlimited people. Well, Las Vegas is right up the street, and it's like a melting pot for people all around the country and the world. So I went up there and I had my Ron Paul signs, and I'm street peddling these pocket constitutions, you know, during the day, and then and in the evening doing some activism and some other activism, or just hanging out and just having some fun. And then we went from there, we went to the Baker billboards, you know, the ones out between Baker and Barstow at Afton Road on I-15.
The big Ron Paul billboards, which yeah, are now something else. I don't know what they are
now. It still says Ron Paul.
Oh, okay.
But the one, they changed the billboard to say that it's more like a campaign logo. It doesn't say the Ron Paul Revolution, but it's still there. And then the other one, the one we didn't work on, the one that Brock and his buddies did, is falling down. That one needs repair. I mean, we could make it three times bigger. It's like 28 by 32. We could go 90 by 32, and you could have a gigantic billboard out there. It cost about $10,000 to put it all up, you know, because you need, you know, the poles, the cranes. I mean, you can't pick those poles up by yourself. You know, they're going to be 60 foot poles.
We have experience doing this, and I tell you, we went out with all volunteer labor for 4 or 5 days from Southern California, Las Vegas, Phoenix. Everybody from the Southwest went out there, and we camped out for like, God, it was at least four days.
Yeah, it was like 3 or 4 days, Labor Day weekend.
And I was there a day or two later just making sure everything was cleaned up and done, you know, and everybody's happy. And we went out there, put that big inspiration. You just go Ron Paul billboard, you know, in
California.
And a Google search, and it'll blow up. I mean, you'll see it, and we got videos of us doing whatever. But it was a lot of work. And just the materials for the wood and all the paint and everything, just the materials is like $5,000.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not cheap.
So, but it was enormous. Let's put it this way. Each of the signs, we had two big giant billboards, the side of an 18-wheeler trailer. We had a big sign above. There was a lot. Just the billboards were 19 sheets of plywood for one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one side. I mean, it was just enormous. So this was a lot. I mean, we... And Morpheus, more than most, risked his life. I could not believe, you know, it's one of these long, extendable ladders that goes up, and then there's more, and you're climbing up on the thing, and it's 60 feet up in the air. You fall on these big, jagged rocks, you'd be dead. And he's out there holding on with one hand as he's trying to pry the old wood off with a hammer. I'm like, I can't even look. I can't look. I went up on the ladder to do a couple of screws. I was the rope guy. You know, I'll do this down here. You know, get my blubber butt up there. I'm just, no, hell no. So I went up a couple of times just to say I did, and I'm going, you know, I did, so I'm not doing it anymore. So Morpheus is the kind of guy that he's at the top of the ladder. He's willing to put forth the effort, and he's going to Vegas and doing this with these pocket constitutions, putting some Ron Paul information in there. And then the one thing I tell you, everybody learned from you, and it's really hitting home, as we would make by the thousands all these DVDs and hand them out, Morpheus go, heck no. No, you get something for it. You get a hug, a kiss, a dollar, something.
A smoke. I
mean, you know, something. You know, a cigarette, something. You know, because if you don't, it has more value that way. Hey, I paid for this. I got, you know they have a much higher likelihood of watching it, mm-hmm, and having given it some value. So we're going, okay, cool. So he takes that when he goes to Vegas. I'm not just going to be giving this, you know, heck no. I get to do my spiel. So tell me your spiel and how people contribute to this.
Well, I basically just talked to him on the street about the pocket constitution, build value in it, and say, hey, I bought 500 of these. You know, can you make a contribution to, you know, contribution? And they go, well, what's it for? Well, it's for me, so I can get more of these constitutions. You know, we got fixed costs involved in this print and ink. You know, it's just like the print and ink. You know, you call it's money, but you know, you can just wipe your rear end with that.
And so you give me some rear end wiping stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, he who gets stuck with all the money when everything implodes is the one who loses the most.
So you convert it into at least more constitutions. That's good. Yeah. Trade for silver or something.
Yeah, something.
You know, so this is...
I actually got paid in downtown Mesa with the... We had the Ron Paul debate, which is another story. Someone paid me with a silver dime card.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
I'm going to find
it. And that's actually worth something.
Yeah, that actually has real value.
So go to Freedom's Phoenix. At the top, you'll see Join Us. You know, on the navigation bar, it says Join Us, and you'll have the contribution page there, you know, because you can give me
this
contributions. So
that's the one I
get. Oh, it's a Sauron eye thing. Here, I put it up to the camera. I know Ross did such a good job on so many of these. You know, I love his artwork. Don't tread on Mimi. Don't tread on meme.com. Go there and you can purchase a lot of this stuff. You know, I just got yesterday, Michael Nystrom from Daily Paul sent me his gold card. Oh, we're going to do gold for them, and we're looking for a half gram piece. The same company that made our silver medallions, you know, for AOCS or Freedom's Phoenix Silver 1 ounces, they have already in the system our artwork. They go, we can use that same artwork, create the die, and stamp your half gram gold pieces that we will have with your own logo, send it to you, certified De La Real Gold, blah, 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 and you can put it in your dime cards, you know, this gold cards for Daily Paul. The AU is for gold. Michael sent me the artwork for P and AU. There's two out of the four. Now we got Liberty and Love. You know, we get those. We're going to just print them all at one time. We're negotiating with the printers, got everything all set, the die cut's done. So I'm just like, you know, we're going to be doing us a bunch of more dime cards with gold, too. So this is, there's a lot of ways that you can help. But I tell you, right now, you go to freedomsphoenix.com, freedoms with an S, phoenix.com, top where it says join us. There's a contribution button there. We'll make it easy for Morpheus, and I'll just go ahead and, you know, funnel it to him. And he's going to Vegas with friends and so on to promote this idea to seed across the planet. Where better than Las Vegas? And he's having success. You enjoying yourself?
I'll always have my always having fun.
Always having fun. Let's get some money.
If you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong.
Give money.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Make them remember, we are not afraid!
Declan, Slacktivist. Yeah, we can't get hold of him on Skype. We'll work it out. Hopefully we'll get him for the end of the hour. If not, we'll get him next week because Declan is going to get us up to speed on what's up. So we can't get hold of him. I'm not sure why. But, you know, Declan's always been a good guy to deal with, so I'm sure something came up. What we're going to go ahead and do is we'll go ahead and have Morpheus go ahead and stick around because I want to turn on the air conditioner because it's hot. You know, start. Oh, and Alma's here. All right, fine. Get up to the next microphone. And we can play Alma. Now, she's going to – I tell you what Alma wants to do. She wants to make sure that we have a garden. Ooh, and she brought some garden. What is this? Bell peppers, jalapenos, and spinach. Are you
nice.
You're going to start planting this today? We got to do it. Yeah, last week, Friday. Well, go ahead and get on the mic. Alma and I. I tell you what. Pretty girls get to sit next to me. You want to bring that chair over here and we'll share it again? Or you just stay over there because we don't have the camera going. Yeah, that's another thing we need to do in the studio here. In the other studio, we had a camera for the guests. But here it's just, we didn't do that. So I need to get a background of the green screen, if I care. I mean, we'll get around to it someday. But
people are going to be looking at now, Ernie.
Yeah, that's right. Here's Alma. Say hello.
Happy 420.
420. Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Is that today?
Yeah, it's 420.
Oh, my God, it's 420.
You didn't know it was 420?
All right.
I'm like, all right. Maybe I'll go shooting today. So what we're going to do is last week, Alma and I went out and cleared Donna's old garden area that she had. And we had, that thing was a jungle. It was getting all kinds of stupid. She planted any and everything just to see what would work and how much something produced. And it was like more than you could handle. And it was only like 20 by 30 or something like that. So it's just, amazing. Here's the plants. There you go. Oh, see, you can see. If you're on video, you can see.
I'll put you on the plantation, Ernie.
She's got a fistful of plantation plants. Okay. So this, go ahead. What do you plan on doing today? What is it that you want to accomplish?
I was just going to plant the...
Oh, I turned that one off. You got to share mine. Oh, okay. Well, you're not getting it over far enough. Why is she even here if I can't see her?
I'm going to plant the peppers.
Peppers. pepper. You know, that was one thing. What was the ones that I really liked? Was it pepperoncinis or banana peppers? These I started slicing fresh banana peppers in slices and putting them on cheese crisps and pizzas and stuff like that. I got all kinds of stupid with that. I go, these are the freaking most awesome, because when you put them on and you heat them and they get a little bit of cooking on them, they are awesome. And I just go, man, you cannot have enough of these for me. So today, Alma and I are going to go out there and we'll at least get her all prepped up. Because last week we had to clear it and rake it and get it all, you know, ready for today. And we just had irrigation out there, too. I don't think it made it up to that garden, but we got the water thing. You know, I even got a kitchen sink out there.
Cool.
You know, out about the garage. I think I'm going to put, we'll go ahead and build and mount the kitchen sink out there and let it drain into the garden. I don't care. But the, oh, wait a minute. Do I got to get a permit for that?
No.
There you go. Okay. So what we're going to go ahead and do is we'll go ahead and get the garden going. And here in Arizona, we could have probably planted a month ago. I mean, you know, but, you know, we can do it now and they'll get rambling. So I'm wanting to make sure that, you know, Alma, she's all worked up. She wants to go ahead and start doing the garden here. We did it last year, and it was very effective. And I guess she doesn't have enough land, so she's going to use ours. So I'm like, all right, you can do whatever you want. Because once it starts going, though, it's going to be a lot of work. I get a commitment. You're going to be doing the work? What is it? Stop asking permission. Okay,
fine. I got a story about that, Ernie.
Stop asking permission. She's just going to do it.
I got a story about that. The other day, I live by where they play, they have the Cubs play, and it's always a parking disaster by where I, you know, live, where they, when they have the Cubs game. So I'm coming home from church one day, and it's taken me 15 minutes to get, like, move 300 feet. And I'm going, wait a second. And I was actually going to street pedal some of these pocket constitutions to the ball players, and I go, wait a second, I got something even more valuable. I have parking space in the condominium complex where I live. So I pull in, I park my hovercraft, and then I put I turn the sign around, it says no parking, and I turn it around, it says, you know, so it says no parking. I turn that around and grab a flag and I start waving people into the parking lot.
Oh.
And people are like tripping out. The one guy goes, or I tell this guy what I'm going to be doing, because he's like waving people away, and I go, hey, I'm just going to charge him. We got 40 spaces at $10 a crack. That's $400. So let's go make some money. So I just did this, and, you know, people were getting, you know, some people were getting excited. You don't have the, you know, I'm going to tell on you, and you know, who gave you the authorization? I'm like, hey, I attempted to call the manager, but he was not around, so I just took it upon myself to do it. So within about 20 minutes, I made about $70, and you know, and then I wrote a letter to the condominium complex and just put it in there and said, here's the money from the, you know, from, I didn't take it for myself, I just put it into the, you know, for the condominium complex so they could use it for, you know, for whatever they want, improvements or whatever. And, you know, I'm not stealing, you know, anything that's not mine. Well, the next day I went and talked to the manager, and he goes, I said, well, we need to do, you know, take advantage of this. Or actually, back up. When I was there, the guy who was waving people away, he sees me making all this money real fast. And he goes, God, I've been here for 10 years doing waving people off.
I could have bought me a motorhome.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so I talked to the manager. He goes, well, we got to have a meeting, and they got to have, you know, we got to, you know, check into this and check into that, you know, the liability and all this. I'm like, what? You know, we could, you know, I don't want to do the work. I said, I'll hire somebody to do this. I'll just give them some receipts, and then they'll park the cars, and then, you know, when we're done, they'll pick up the cars, and, you know, all the receipts match up the money, and bam, you know, the guy, how's he going to steal from you? Well, anyway, so it's just, but then they want to throw it to their board, and, you know, just, and it's like, when's the next board meeting? Oh, it's in a month.
Spring training's over,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, well, you lost your opportunity. You know, it's like, this is the problem with this groupthink mentality, is you have to get permission to do anything. Well, you know what? If you're not hurting anybody, why should you have to have anybody's permission to do anything?
Stop asking permission.
Right? Boom.
All right. No, that's a good story. Well, Alma, go ahead and help us out. You know, I was thinking of going shooting with Andrew and Alex today. I mean, you know, do I get to or what? What do you got planned?
Yeah, I'm just going to be here for, you know, a few hours hanging out and maybe scanning stuff if you also need help doing that. But besides that, I will just be here planting and hanging out.
Okay, let me tell you what. Morpheus got these. Oh, we're going shooting. It's like, you know, boom, boom, boom.
No moving parts.
Yeah, I'm showing you the target. It's like the jack thing that we're doing. yay, because it's a pain in the butt, man, going out there, keep, you know, putting up targets. All right. What she's talking about, the scanning thing, is Don and I, we've been, you know, trying to get to this. We've started and we get the process going. But, you know, the bottom line is this. All our activism over the years, we take the highlights of it. You keep one page because this is before the internet. You didn't have PDF filing kind of. So we always kept, you know, like old pictures. We kept files, you know, different events that we did, the pamphlets of, the mailings of, and so on. But we don't, there was a lot of great ideas, you know, for 15, 20 years before we really started, you know, archiving things. So I'm going, and that's really what Freedom's Phoenix was all about. Yeah, a lot of it, you'll have pictures and graphics and videos and a lot of different things that you can use as a resource to spark ideas and innovation and whatever. So what we did is we saved all of it and put it in boxes by year. Here's 1988. Here's 89. Here's 90, 91, 92. I mean, it goes up. And we got up to like 92 or something. And it's like, so Alma has offered, okay, I'll just feed the scanner. And we'll just scan all it. We'll title it and whatever later.
Offered for a nice price.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not for free, okay? So we're going, you got a pretty girl around there, you know, sitting at a desk, scan stuff in. Better that's worth money right there. Oh, yeah, we'll even have her do some work. Okay, so we'll
Whoa.
Do. Yeah, work. You're not that pretty.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Summer from Agoras Marketplace. Woo! Say hello. And
hello.
Morpheus. No, I'm turned on your. Okay, I guess I did. You know, I'm just saying, you know, they can't shut up. I mean, going out, coming in, they're just, I can't put your quiet. It's radio, man. That's ready. What? What are you looking for?
There's a noise.
I hear it too. Like a bee.
Oh, it's because you did that phone cord. That cord, it's got to plug into the whatever. Go get Donna. Go get Donna. You touched it. You broke it.
Does everyone hear that?
Yeah. Well, no, you hear it out here. They probably don't hear it. But it's a hum because, you know, they touched it. Wires, buttons, slides, dials, everywhere. You know, it's like when my grandkids come in. You know, it was Bob Anderson's kids came in. And, oh, it might have been Alma. No. It was...
I bet you Ernie broke it.
Alma did.
Ernie broke it.
I had it. You know, Bob Anderson, his young boys, you know, it's like 7 and 8, man. That's just like, you know, destruction. You know, I just know from that. They come in here, man, they cannot leave one dial untouched. So what Don and I did is we have a manual. Remember that manual, the purple book that had all the pictures? We took pictures of all the dials where everything was set. And we got to go page by page and make sure, aha, they got this one and this one. Because I know. All right. So let's go ahead, Alma. Go ahead and tell the people your idea about you're going to Pork Fest. You finally made that decision?
I'm going to Pork Fest.
All right. Pork Fest. And what's your plan? What are you going
to
do?
Okay. So for Agorist Marketplace, it is free to get your business, service, product, whatever listed for free. And at Pork Fest, I want to tell everyone about this and make it kind of just, there's only 21 people on there so far. So I really want to encourage anyone who wants to work within the free market to go there and visit the site and put their information on there and stop waiting for their website or their logo or whatever. Just go do it. And
I mean, 21 people on what? What are you talking about?
On my website. That's how
many. Oh, you mean 21?
21 agorists.
That have actually listed their service or product.
Yeah.
Well, 21, that's not like just 21 people have gone visit, it's 21 vendors.
Oh, I've had probably about 2,000 people visit my site so far.
Okay, see, this is how it starts. Okay, so you have 21 vendors out there. Where do they go to see that?
AgorasMarketplace.com. And at Pork Fest, I plan on putting up flyers because a lot of people had done that. We actually did that for the colloidal silver
and what tent number we were at. And this year I'm going to make a flyer, pre-make it, so before I even get there, it's done and ready to go with get your Agoras whatever listed on Agoras Marketplace for free. And then people will be able to link to it by a QR code and access the entire site. And hopefully I will have a map viewer program that has even more detailed information about people at existing sites within Porkfest. So we'll see.
Okay. Now, this is something that we kind of did. It was the first edition of the e-zine, and it may have been the second one. What we did is we had in the magazine, you downloaded it for your smartphone, it had a map of Porkfest. You know, they downloaded it. They're in there going around with their tablets, so on. Got a map, know where everybody is, doing it, all the information, who are the vendors, the speakers, schedules, all that kind of stuff, because they didn't have a play. And I'll tell you what the problem was, is that before, it's probably getting better, but the Wi-Fi sucked, okay? Your access to information, your Verizon phone, so if you tried to go to a website, it didn't work. But if you had an enhanced PDF file that downloaded your mobile device, you already had it preloaded on your phone, you just, boom, pulled it up, Freedom's Phoenix e-zine, boom, done. Shakalaka.
I know that last year I met some people that were into the open source information and things like that, and I was told about...
Get up next to the mic.
I was told about...
Over here.
What,
okay.
I was told about open source like telecommunications technology, and that people were working on something like that, and that would be really beneficial in a Porkfest like event, and you'd be able to hold them anywhere and still have access to the internet and things like that. There's also software you can download that links you from computer to computer, so you can access different softwares and internet and things like that if you lose your internet connection or things like that.
Okay. A lot of technology. Okay. I don't know if you did you hear the show yesterday? I had Mark Victor on last hour.
Yeah.
What'd you hear?
Mark and I are friends now on Facebook. Hi, Mark. And I'm very excited. I invited him to the Jackalope Freedom Festival group on Facebook that you can also join. And you can talk about where we're going to have our Freedom Festival in Arizona. So if you have any ideas, or if you have land and you would like to be a host, there's good stuff in it for you. So
okay, now he says he has. We're going to be talking Saturday. He's going to be doing his, this is what he does. He sets up a big like classroom outside in the shade somewhere, you know, at the Crossroads of the West Gun Show, which has like, I mean, it's stupid. It's like anywhere from 600 to 1,000 tables. I mean, tens of thousands of people go to this thing. Well, he gives a class in the afternoon. It's from like 1 to 4 or something like that. He'll have various different classes. And he'll sit there and he'll go, let me tell you what the law be. You know, let me tell you about this Trayvon, what the thing, you know, stand your ground laws, that, blah, 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 blah. Ask a question, give you the answer. Let me give you, I can't tell you for sure what's going to happen, but let me tell you what's happened in the 15 gazillion cases that I've done on guns. So while he does that, you know, we'll go there and hang and throw our tickets and trash on the tables and so on. He's always sharing ours. So what we do is I go, all right, we'll have this discussion. Next Wednesday, we're going to Harley-Davidson dealership, Chester's or Charlie's or whatever it is, out in the East Valley that he's been, you know, working with. And these guys have an enormous venue. And I'm going, all right, we'll go ahead and start talking about it. And I said, I know Alma and a lot of activists here, they want to do something like, you know, what can we do? Because the next Freedom Summit, it's not going to be traditional the way it has been in the past. And you've been to a couple of Freedom Summits, haven't you? Have you?
We need to create environments for our families to make money to feed and house ourselves that don't involve being run by the state. So conventions of a conventional type are no longer. It's time to expand outside the box and start creating communities where we can meet and grow and learn and create bigger communities of prosperity.
You know, I tell you the one thing that I'm starting to see, and you're 30-ish, right? Ish. But it's the activists, the young activists that are about Alma's age. And it's guys like, you know, Pete Iyer and so on. They're kind of, okay, I did my bit, man. I put forth the effort. We have busted ass on, you know, exposing and getting, and we know it's coming down. And we need to find some place to light. We need to start, you know, thinking about how, and we can start doing that with, you know, festivals. So Pork Fest is a great example of what it can be like if you just leave people alone. Well, that means demand's going to come. I'm interested to see what happens this year. It was so successful the last couple of years that, you know, I just don't see how the man can allow that to happen. Well, we'll try not to give them an excuse to be stupid. But, you know, we want to do it here in the Southwest. And Alma's heading up with that. Mark and I are going to be talking about it. We might put some resources behind it. And when we do, and we know, and we're ready, you'll be the first to know.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Wow! 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 I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
So good! So good!
I feel good.
Close enough.
I feel nice.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time this weekend. We're relaxing. Got a lot of stuff to do. I'm going to be at the Gunshu, Crossroads of the West. You know, you can get just about anything there. You know, freeze-dried foods, different kind of knives, supplies, you know, equipment, ammo, blah, 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 blah. Because when you got 1,000 tables, I mean, what do you think? They're all selling handguns? I mean, come on. You know, it's got a lot of stuff. And there's an entire change, a mind shift that's happening, and it really is really represented at these gun shows, because a lot of them are new people that have just, you know, hey man, I think I might need to get a gun, and there's a lot that comes along with that. Well, you know, what about you, Alma? Do you possess a firearm?
My boyfriend does in the somewhere secret in our room.
Yeah, somewhere secret. Okay. All right. You know, this is, you know, because she's really taking on, you know, the surviving this thing on the other side by, I don't know, a lot of knowledge. I mean, you're really embracing this gardening thing and the Agora Marketplace and all that. I mean, because you're employed by the man. I mean, you got a job working in the system, you know, but you're trying to extricate yourself. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I currently design cellular towers for
big company.
Well, I work for a private small company. There's only six of us there, I think, and we do work for Verizon. That's our biggest client. But yes, I am trying to be free and not a slave.
Trying to
die. And I think that our biggest chance of becoming free is owning land without paying taxes. So I'm working on that part. I already own my own land, so I haven't recorded it. I don't know if anyone has any
Who's
information
your
about
neighbor?
That. I have a land patent group on Facebook too. So, but becoming self-sustainable and owning your own land are the two biggest things that I focus on. And growing food is part of that. So if you don't know where your food comes from, or, you know, at least grow your own food, then you're not eating healthy.
You know, Donna says Declan's available now. What did he say? Yeah, Google Voice problems. Let's schedule him for next week. Tell him I get an hour and 15 minutes because he's a slacker. Okay? Well, whatever. We'll do an hour next week. You know, we got Alma and Morpheus. And tell him Alma's prettier so he can just, you know, wait.
That's
well,
okay.
You know, the thing is that, you know, Decca McCullough, I don't want to shortchange, you know, the information we get out of him, because he was talking. Let me tell you what he was going to talk about. They say he's having Google Voice problems or whatever. But, what he was talking about is there, you may have saw in Freedom's Phoenix earlier this week, to where they had this guy said, I can provide internet, voice, phone, internet, everything, and email, encryption, and the FBI can't track it. They can't.
I like it.
So he's saying, you know, privacy, security, internet, and it's all encrypted, and they can't turn over anything to the FBI because it doesn't retain any of the information. It's all encrypted. You own your information. It's like you own the communication. We're not even going down this road with the FCC, de la blah, blah, blah. And I'm just going, there's no way they're going to allow that.
I just want people to mind their own business. My business is not anyone else's business besides who I decide to involve in my business. That's it. I mean, just mind your own business.
Can I be in your business? I
want to
be in your business.
Go produce something.
Okay, now let's talk about the land, because you have some neighbors up there in northern Arizona. You got, you know, who are your neighbors?
I think you're my neighbor.
I am a neighbor.
Won't you be my neighbor?
Well, what happened was there was a Sholo, Arizona, is a very well-known, nice summer destination for people. It's cool up there. It's in the mountains, and it's very nice. Then in the wintertime, it's up near a ski resort up there. Arizona, you can play out here in the tan. Heck, just a few weeks ago, they were skiing, you know?
It gets 90 degrees at the hottest where I bought, in the summer, where I bought my land. That's it, 90. That's all. We're like, what we have to deal with this week, last week, that's it. That's all we'll ever have to deal with, and a little bit of snow, which will be so fun.
Yep. And you're near the ski resort. So being anywhere near Sholo and having land is like better than not. Well, what they did is they had out in the middle of the plateau, it's called high desert up there. You got some trees and everything and so on, but it's generally, you know, a high desert area up there near the forest and land and trees. And I haven't even been up there yet. This is what happened. One of our activists here, Tom Westbrook, you know, he's Mormon. So, I mean, he knows where all the land is. Him and his family, everybody, you know, that they're big, Mormon big in land thing. So he's like, hey, man, they have a defunct development up there that's been going bankrupt, and they just want for taxes and so on. They're putting it out and selling and auctioning. And he goes, I think he got like 10 acres back in the day, last year or so, for like less $2,000 or something. It's like a couple hundred bucks an acre.
40 acres just sold for $4,700 on the same auction website that he purchases land from. Just north,
in a different area.
Just north of St. John's, which is still the same type of area. So
yeah, I tell you,
high desert.
Yeah, it has a lot more value to us than it would most people because a lot of these places, they don't have electricity. Well, that's, you know, we got Bob Anderson out there. He's been living off grid for 10 years, you know, and he works at the nuclear power plant supervising changing out the core. And he doesn't have electricity off. He does off grid, and he has a 2,600 square foot home. I mean, he doesn't lack for nothing. Gardening, you know, chicken, the whole deal, all solar, windmill, and he has a diesel generator backup for when he wants to turn on the air conditioner. Now, what happens is, so this opens up a lot more land. And when they've gone to much faster, just in the last couple of years, I mean, since the last election cycle, internet satellite has gotten a lot faster. I mean, you know, there's still the Hughes, which, you know, sucks. But, you know, you have, you know, some other options for a little bit more that you can get some really fast broadband satellite. In fact, the people that do a lot of the posting for us, they live in Ecuador. You know, they live in Ecuador. And they're out in the middle of the nothing paying for the, and they're doing broadband, putting up and posting, doing it, going, Ernie, it sucks to be you. We're here in Ecuador. You know, and I'm going, okay. So now it opens up possibilities. They have water up there. Drill water. Well, how many water wells do we need? Well, enough for, you know, all of us to get what we want.
We might not even need to dig wells if we build our roofs to collect our water, like the Earth ships in Taos, New Mexico.
Cisterns. You know, there's a lot of people. I tell you, more than people, just to the little bit of rainfall that we get in Tucson, there is a home down there that they make a big deal out of every year. It's always they put on the ecology, green guys, whatever. He collects enough water to run his entire home just from the rainfall from his roof. But what they do in Colorado, they start passing laws. They go, it's illegal to collect your, that water belongs to the man. God done rained on your land? Well, it didn't belong to him or you. It belongs to us. We got eminent domain on your water.
Which doesn't make any sense because you're going to drink water. As a human being, you're always going to drink water.
It makes sense if you don't want people to be independent.
Slaves.
Slaves. No tax numbers. No slave numbers for slaves. Okay. Yeah, that's her big thing. Okay, now what we're going to do is we have probably like I was thinking of even going this weekend, maybe next weekend, but before it starts getting freaking weird hot. But up there it's cooler. So we're going to go up and take the RV, you know, the trailer. We'll go up camping. We'll do a thing. We're all going to go take a look at our land. And so we have probably, I don't know, like five or six of us that I know have at least an acre and a half or more. And we just go up there, all right, we'll go see what's what. And what do we need? Well, you know, we're trying to get it to where it's not recorded and on, you know, you get all the documentation, put it in the trust, no name of, and kind of you go 20 years from now, you say, yep, see, I got the warranty deed on and blah, 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 blah. But the real estate companies that we're dealing with and the transfer of the ownership and everything, it started off where they just, you know, put the lot with white out and wrote the thing in there, and then do a notary on another piece of paper saying, yeah, the attached is notarized. Attached, what? No, it's got to be on the same page. We go back and forth and back and forth to them because obviously counting on the government to clean everything up for them, but can you get title insurance? So we're going through all this process. Yes, we can. But to get it the way we want it, to where it's like ours, it has to be the man saying it's ours, and they're making it that. So we're learning a lot in this process. Can you really own the land? You know? And we got the tax thing and all this other stuff. But we're working towards knowing.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Turn on the tube, well, I see a whole lot of people crying. Don't blame me, but point the crooked little fingers at everybody else. Spend all the time feeling sorry for themselves. Think of this, think of that.
Your mama's new thin and your daddy's new fat. Get over it, get over it, get over it, get over it, and do something about it. You know, it's one thing you were saying off air, you're going, the segment I did with Pete Iyer, we were talking about a lot of this stuff and future of and everything. You're making a video out of this, doing what? Finish telling me what you're talking about.
I made a video with the interview with you and Pete, and it's the video is of us making the radios. There's a little clip of us making the radios, and there's a clip of us making some dime cards. And
making radios? What are you talking about?
The radios. You were just talking Bob, who owns... the land.
Oh, you mean the transmitters?
The transmitters. Yeah, Bob was.
Okay, let me tell you what's going on.
Soldering and stuff.
One weekend we had, I don't know, we were doing a bunch of stuff. That a bunch of activism T-shirts. Everybody's doing something, and Bob Anderson came out because he's like, you know, the technophile. And what we did is we bought FM transmitters so you could have your own radio station. Well, you get a lot better deal if you do some of the work yourself, which takes some work. So you're building the little filters, this and the doing the that. The antenna and the hooking up and the right length of everything. And we built these and we tested them. And when we went out to like go to courtside or something, we take the RV and we put the FM station up. And we just tell everybody, put on their blogs or their meetups or Facebooks or whatever and say frequency 90 whatever point something. And you can just listen to the show. And it has like a 3 mile radius.
Yeah.
So that means, you know, you go 6 miles. You know, across in small towns, you own the freaking town. And everybody's like, oh, we just tune in and we do the show live on the radio.
We should do a show live when we go up to check out our land and just like put, you know, take the Freedom's Phoenix RV up there and put a big sign that says what station we're
broadcasting.
Oh, so
we're not going to be clandestine on. Then, is that what you're saying?
Well, we should announce that we're here.
We're here.
We're here and we're here to be free. So, you know, let's not incorporate this town and let's keep things free and leave us alone.
Let me tell you what's happening behind the scenes. As we were looking for a place to do this very thing, Freedom Summit at the Summit. Mark and I have been working on it. We went and met, Don and I did, we met with Senator Karen Johnson that lives up by there. And we're going, okay, can we, you know, what's the dominating philosophy here? Who's in charge of whatever? And she goes, well, it's one Mormon thing. You know, you got a heavy influence of that, which is fine. You know, a lot of them, they just want to be left alone too. But then you got the neocony kind of, you know, Mormon guys. And there we be in charge. And we got the sheriff's department. And we got the local police. And we got... So I'm going, smoking marijuana out in the middle of the desert, probably not a good idea. You know what I mean? You know.
I'm not even going to ask any questions like that because it just starts a whole realm of conversation.
What? You just want to announce. We're here.
I want to announce we're here, but what we're here doing is none of your business. I mean...
That is it, man. You're just a neon flashing light for these guys. You're killing me. So,
Ernie?
Well, I know it's one way or the other. It's either you go clandestine and just nobody knows you're there, or everybody knows you're there and you do the Billy Jack thing. We're going to do this, and there's nothing you can do about it, you know? So we're searching for a place, and we're researching on how we might do this. And the land is cheap enough that we got our acre and a half. We probably paid a premium. We were one of the last ones that, you know, while it started to really go up, and we got an acre and a half for $1,500. But some people are getting them for $300 to $600, and hopefully mine's premium. But, you know, because they were my neighbor. I go, they get to be my neighbors? I'm in, man. I'm going to be, you know, what I got to go to the auction and got bid up by Lord knows who. So, we're going to go ahead and go up there and check it out. And it's near a very nice town. Cholo is one of the places you might want to move to, you know. So, but outside city limits is probably better. So we're going to go ahead and talk about this, and that's what Mark and I are going to be working on this Saturday. How are we going to be an inspiration to the next group of activists? How we, because that's what Freedom Summit was about. We were there making sure people knew that we understood what was coming, how bad it was, what was going to be the problem, and that you need to listen to what these people have to say. You go look at the speakers of previous summits, man, it was amazing. So don't want to do that anymore.
We just need to provide a place where the information can be gathered. And if you want to come there, promote your book or promote your message, then you do it to your group of people and you convince them to come to this festival and hear you and learn and hear you speak. And you can bring your own chairs or people can sit on grass or the rocks since we live in the desert. You know, maybe we'll
get some AstroTurf. we'll have a patch of grass. I want grass. We get little patches of grass. We can do it because you can do it up there. You know, this is really sparking across and really kind of got me when Pete Iyer was talking. Man, I'm just looking for a place to. I mean, you know, you kind of camping out in the Shire there. You know, it's nice to have people around, but you know, that's not the only place that we can do this kind of stuff. And people are doing it even out of the country. And I'm just looking for, you know, I got grandkids. I'd really like to, you know, see if we can find a place here. Arizona's culture is a little bit different, even though the government sucks. But that's just a, you know, whatever, who cares? But the people, oh, they're definitely in this leave me alone thing. You know, you don't get, you know, unrestricted concealed carry laws, you know, in a vacuum. There's a reason for that kind of stuff. And, you know, legalizing marijuana. Marijuana here, you can get all the medicinal marijuana you want, you know, kind of. Because it's, you know, you're just wondering what's happening with, you know, the man, how they're dealing with guys.
Well, it's funny because I'm pretty sure the prices are the same whether you're going to a dispensary or you're buying from your buddy down the street. And that's just like the government's already set the market price. I don't think prices have ever been so high. It's out of control. Everyone should just grow it themselves.
So I've heard.
So they tell me.
So they tell you.
$30.
You're not on. Because you're making noise over there.
I looked on Google, and that's what Google told me.
Yeah, Google said it.
Google told me.
And this is, there's a lot of growers here now. And a lot of people, we have our parties. You know, Thane Eichenauer, he has this lanyard, you know, a name badge around his neck. And you ever see him? He has that, has the marijuana on there. I am your middleman. You know, no matter where we go, you see him. He's got a marijuana thing here. Yep, talk to me. Got the dispensary for you. You know, no, I have nothing to do with what. So he's playing middleman on this.
Does he have a card?
I have no idea. I didn't even ask.
Because
I'm like, whatever.
I don't believe in asking permission to have anything to do with any kind of herbs. It's just a silly, silly nonsense.
Well, this is a lot of things that are on the front lines for you guys. As we're going to these different opportunities to express ourselves, we just want to make sure we're able to be peaceful and just have a good time and relax.
Yeah, you'll be able to see lots of video of Porkfest in the interview with you and Pete. I use a lot of video from Porkfest. So if anyone is interested in seeing what that's like and seeing what type of festival we're interested in hosting here in Arizona, then they'll be able to
Will. Oh, someday we're going to. When are you doing this? Where are you going to put it? How are they going to be able to access it?
It's going to happen. Things are going to fall into place. I believe it.
No. I mean the video you're doing.
Oh, the video's been made. I just haven't posted it because it's 26 minutes long and my YouTube doesn't allow me. So Pete said that I think he said he can get it posted on Free Keen's YouTube.
Or you can do Blip TV or you can send it to us. We can do the file here. I can put it on our own. Heck, you have the capacity. I tell you, I'll walk you through it. You can put it on Freedom's Phoenix servers. We have the capacity.
All right.
We just haven't used it yet because we're just, you know, because it takes like memory space. But the thing is that we knew that YouTube and these guys are going to be screwing with us. So we have the capacity for probably a couple of years. Well, even from the beginning, we can put the file up there and it download. But now we have players. And the reason we did that is because we knew they were going to, you know, shut off access to whatever someday. And when they do, we're like, seamlessly, it's on our own servers. Nah, in your face. Nah, 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 nah. So we're ready for that. We're going to go ahead. Alma is, you know, the first person I was thinking of when Mark was like, yeah, we got to do it. Let's go. Now, he wants to do work with this big Chester's, whatever it is, Harley-Davidson thing. You know, do that. They got a place to go, and they want to have big bands. And it's going to be a big shindig. But that may be also a good marketing place to do what we want to do and what we can learn from that. So we're going to go ahead, and we'll have something here. And when it happens, it may be after the election cycle, maybe next spring, maybe this fall, maybe whenever the heck we get around to it. But when we do it, let me tell you what I know. It's going to be very, 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 very cool. Because we, you know, we've done this before. We know what it takes to do a Freedom Summit. But Mark and I always wanted to do a summit at the summit. So we'll combine with Alma's efforts, and we'll all come together and do. It's always good to have an attorney on your side, too. You know, this criminal defense attorney thing. They start doing some shenanigans. They're like, talk to my attorney. You know, and he loves to talk. So he loves to go to trial. Let's go to trial. I love when you guys come after us. So there's a lot going on here, and it's going to happen even after this election cycle. We get through this election cycle, you're going to start seeing a lot of manifestations of efforts to live free, to actually start putting it into implementation. There are going to be a lot of groups and people that are going, oh, yeah, we're going to carry it into the next election cycle. Oh, we're going to go fix the politics. Oh, we're going to use that. You know, I'm like, you know what? There's enough of us now that certainly get it, and certainly this next generation just go, you just give me a place to go, man, and just chill and hang with people like Alma, you know? So this is what we're going to do. We're going to help. We're working on it. And we're going to be, where are you guys at? Give the web page where they can go keep up on this stuff.
Well, I don't... There,
well, the pork...
There's JackalopeFreedomFestival.com. You can go and check out. And there's a Facebook group, too.
Jackalope. Just do a Facebook search. It'll come up.